Hallelujah. Well, I wore my It's Wednesday, Stay Awake shirt. You feel like you're nodding off, just stare at the shirt. It'll mesmerize you into being awake. Amen. No, hallelujah. You know, it's hard to believe it's been a couple weeks, but you know, what a great camp meeting we had a couple weeks ago. Amen. Just so rich and so wonderful. And, you know, during camp meeting, when you come expecting, the Lord begins to say things. He made a statement to me that is the impetus of this sermon tonight. And the title of this sermon tonight is Morning is Coming. I heard that in my spirit. Morning is coming. And so we're going to look at that tonight, and we just trust God. I want to start in Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. I'm going to read one verse, verse 5. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. For his anger, King James says, endureth. I'm going to start taking King James out. You ready? His anger endures, but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There's seasons in life, you know, that seem to have no end. Nights when the pain is real, and nights when there's unanswered questions, and sometimes nights where you're enduring challenges, sickness, and disease in your body. Nights where financial pressure weighs on you and tries to keep you from getting any rest. Nights maybe when you've experienced a betrayal. Even nights sometimes when heaven itself seems silent. You know, every one of us has experienced a night season. But you know, but throughout Scripture, God has established a pattern, and that's this. The night never gets the final word. Nighttime never gets the final word. Morning always follows the night. I tell you, the devil loves midnight because midnight feels like the end sometimes. But God loves the morning because he knows it's only the beginning. So tonight, we just want to talk about this simple concept. Morning is coming. So to begin with, let's realize this. Every night has an appointed end. He said there in Psalm 30, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Notice what it doesn't say. It does not say weeping may endure forever. It says it comes for the night. You know, night has boundaries. How many of you are expiration date lookers? In other words, you read the expiration date. Some of us were raised expiration date smellers. Still good. Amen. And tasters, yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know that my mother knew that I was going to travel different places around the world and eat meals in mud huts with thatch roofs where there's no light. I didn't know what they put in that plate. I just ate it because they gave it to me. I don't know if my mother knew that or not, but I've been blessed and never even had a 24-hour period where I had stomach issues anywhere. My friend in Kenya, who I've worked with for 30 years, he says, "Oh, brother, you have a missionary stomach." My mom would cook something, and especially as growing up, we had different schedules. I mean, we were going, me and my two sisters, especially as we got older, going, she'd cook something, put it on the stove, and it was there. Never put it in the refrigerator. I mean, a pot of chili would stay there till it was done. We just heat it up. Never got sick, never had food poisoning, none of that stuff. Amen? But I got good news for you tonight about one thing. Your trial has an expiration date. The storm has an ending, glory to God. Every sickness has a morning. Every disappointment has a sunrise. God never intended for our night to be our permanent address. Let me say that again. God never intended for the night to be our permanent address. Do you realize this? No one has ever stopped the sun from rising. I know they prayed and the sun stood still, No government, no army, no king, no devil in hell. Morning comes because God ordained it from creation. And when God declares our breakthrough, as he's done through the Word of God, no devil can prevent morning from coming into our lives. So, as we said, every night has an appointed end. Second, God does some of his greatest work during the night. When we don't know he's working, when we can't see it. We're not going to turn back there, but in Exodus chapter 14 is the account of the children of Israel as they've come out of Egypt, trapped between Pharaoh and the Red Sea. Think about it. If they did sleep that night, they were surrounded by death. But by morning, Egypt was destroyed. Israel was free. I'm telling you, God works while we sleep. I don't know that I necessarily have Bible for this, but I have practiced this. There's a lot of times I'll do what I call take a nap of faith. Now, what do you mean by that? I'll just go in. I used to go in and lay a nap. Now I've got a chair, you know. Brother William sold me a really nice chair. I got a chair that I sit in, and I'll just, with everything looks like it's going crazy, I'll just sit in the chair, fall asleep. You know the devil hates that. He'll start screaming at me. You know, most situations we're not going to do anything about, worrying about it anyway, are we? Think about this. Jacob wrestled all night. In Genesis 32:31, I think they'll put it up there, it says, "And as he passed over Peniel," I'll say it that way, "the sun rose upon him." Let's just stop there. Notice this. And here's something about Jacob. When Jacob went into that nighttime, he went in as Jacob, but he came out as Israel. The sun rose that day, but something else rose with that, a new identity. He went into that night session as the supplanter, his name really means the deceiver, and he came out the Prince of Israel. The Prince of God, actually, Israel means. Think about Jesus in the grave as he laid there in darkness, his body. But thank God, early Sunday morning, death had lost, hell had lost, the grave had lost. Morning changed everything. Another thing to think about is this. Midnight is often closest to the morning. Go to Acts chapter 16 with me. Midnight is often closest to the morning. We don't think about midnight that way. We've been taught secularly, in other words, outside of faith and outside of the Bible, that midnight is the worst, it's midnight. It's a horrible time. It's a terrible time. But here in Acts 16, 25 and 26, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose." You know, midnight sometimes represents the darkest time, the darkest hour. But here's something to think about. Midnight is also the closest time of the night to the dawn. When Paul and Silas began praying and singing praises at midnight, the morning, think about this, the morning, in other words, the next day. Sometimes we think morning has to be a sunrise, like we're showing sun on the screen. It doesn't have to be the sunrise. Morning was only 1 second away at midnight. Midnight only lasts for a second. Now, when we talk about morning is coming, this is an attitude. This is a mindset that we need to have. It doesn't matter how dark it looks, morning is coming. It doesn't matter, you know, how the devil has worked and schemed today. In 1 second, it's going to be tomorrow. Hallelujah. They didn't know it. Of course, that jailer didn't know it. The prisoner surely didn't know it, but heaven knew it. The clock was about to change. In 1 second, a new day came. In 1 second, a new opportunity can come your way. In 1 second, divine intervention can solve your problem. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you might have been there like me, I quit praying 1 second before the morning came. But we need to don't stop praising. Just keep praying, believing God. Don't give up when it gets to midnight. Don't let the midnight fool you. Midnight is not the end. Glory to God. Midnight is simply the doorway to the morning. Notice what happened with them. They prayed. Then they praised. They just didn't pray. They praised God. Their prayer was heard in heaven, and praise. Their prayer was heard in heaven, and their praise shook the earth. The chains fell. The doors opened. Lives changed. The jailer was saved. Morning had arrived. Ooh, think about that jailer. I mean, think he thought he was going to be put to death for sure. He asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Of course, Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus. You shall be saved in your whole household. The next point is this that we want to look at. Mourning is more than a time. Think of it more of as a divine season. Go to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations. Lamentations. Right after Jeremiah. Right before Ezekiel. All right, my last hint, page 714. You got the wrong Bible if you don't have anyone. I'm joking. Lamentations chapter 3. This is a great scripture. Boy, you need to mark this in your Bible if you haven't. Verses 22 and 23. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. See, mourning is God's announcement that mercy has arrived on the scene. Every sunrise preaches. Every sunrise tells us from God, I haven't given up on you. Every sunrise says, I still have mercy. Every new morning says, I still have grace. Every new morning says, I still have another opportunity. Every morning is proof that God's faithfulness has outlasted our failures. Aren't you glad? How many of you are glad God's faithful? God's been faithful to us when we were the most unfaithful. When we were enemies of God, Jesus still came and died for us. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God reached into the darkness of our midnight, provided the greatest salvation. You think about what the Bible teaches us and what Christianity teaches us compared to the other religions of the world. And every religion in the world is trying to fill that void of no life on the inside. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God created man, he created man of the dust of the earth, and God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul? And then there later on, God told them, he said, if you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, you will die. Well, chapter 3 of Genesis, we know they did eat, but they didn't die and they didn't have a funeral that day. But did God lie to them? No, they died. That life, that spark of life that God put on the inside of mankind that he created a place for when he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, that was gone. Yet they lived for hundreds of years after that. But ever since that, man has been trying to fill that. Amen. And how many of you know we can't do it? That's what God did. Amen. And I've said this in places where I probably shouldn't have said it, but I think I'm pretty safe to say it here, that Muhammad can't do it. I said that in a little town. This is how the town is pronounced. I'm not trying to say a bad word here, okay? It's in Kenya. It's called Shitoto. And it was our last day that our group was there. It was in 1996, and we'd had a crusade the day before in the market, but it was market day, so that ground was taken up. So we were underneath, it'd be like a strip mall, but it had an awning and it was concrete. The shops behind us weren't open because of the market that day, and so we were there preaching, and there was people. I mean, there was people standing from the back to the front. was about this far. So I'm standing right here, and then right there, I'm not up above them. I'm just barely, you know, I'm just on one step up above. But from there, probably all the way back to close to that camera well back there was people, wall-to-wall people, hundreds of people. Bless their hearts. I'm in the shade. They're standing in the sun. And I just, and you know, we had five of us on our team, and everybody looked around and said, well, who's going to preach? And everybody said, I don't want to preach. I said, well, if nobody else, I'll do it, you know. So I just preached a simple gospel message. You know, we weren't going to get into the, you know, naming the Antichrist or anything like that. That's not going to do any good that, on this day. But I just preached the gospel message and gave an altar call, and no one responded. But I noticed that there was a young man about three people back. He had a stocking cap on, which why you know it was December of that time, and that's the summertime there in Kenya. It was hot. Why he had a stocking cap on, I didn't know. But then I noticed later there were several of them. But I noticed when I gave the altar call, a lot of people looked at him. And so I decided I'm going to preach to him. And I started with, you know, Muhammad can't save you. I pointed right at him and said, you know, Muhammad can't save you. You can't change your life a bit. Muhammad can't do a thing for you. Buddha can't help you. I just named them all, anybody I could think of. Krishna, I didn't know if they knew who Krishna was. I just started in. I slandered them all. But I said, Jesus can. I said, and if you're not saved, you need to be saved. Now, do you want to be saved? If you want to be saved, raise your hand. That kid shot his hand up faster than you saw anything. And when he did, I said, who else? And the whole crowd raised their hand. Now, what I found out afterwards, that several months before we had been there, there were some other Christians that came in, and this young man and his stocking cap group was a group of Muslim. They were a youth gang. And they had beat up those other missionaries, destroyed all their equipment and all that. What I didn't know until the next year, when I was back over there, my host said, oh yeah, he said, I had undercover police all over there. They didn't know it. But when he got saved, they all got saved. Amen. They started three churches out of that one meeting. Had to start three different churches. Amen. Only through God. Only through God can God bring life to that darkness. Through Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Every morning is proof that God's faithfulness has outlasted our failure. You know, back there in Psalm 30, verse 5, joy comes in the morning. Think about this. Joy travels on the same road as the morning does. You know, here's something that sometimes I think we miss. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. If you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you got joy in you. You don't have to manufacture joy. Happiness, excitement maybe, but not joy. Joy comes, it arrives, it's been sent, it's in us, and in one sense, it's on the way. If God says joy comes in the morning, then I know this, despair can't stay forever. It has to go. Glory to God. There in John chapter 20, we have the account of Jesus. Jesus is the God of the morning, of morning. Early Sunday morning, you know, those women arrived expecting death. They expected to find him there in John's account. But instead, what did they find? Resurrection. The stone has been moved. Could you imagine coming and finding that stone rolled away? If you ever get a chance to go to Israel and you go to the Garden Tomb and you see that kind of, I don't know, what would you call it? It's like a trough almost, looks like a feeder, but where that stone would have been rolled. And when you see that, you realize this is something that took, you know, no one person could have done this. And of course, the Roman soldiers didn't do it. But that stone was moved, and that grave was empty. And the angel announced, he's not here. He's risen. The greatest morning in history changed every morning afterward. Because Jesus conquered death, there's no permanent night. I don't care, again, how dark it looks, morning is coming because of what Jesus did. When Jesus rose from the dead, he did away with the permanency of the night, of the darkness. So it's very important that we learn not to judge our story at midnight. Someone said this, some people are writing conclusions while God is still writing chapters. Some people are writing conclusions while God is still writing chapters. I got to thinking about that. And to write a conclusion is to judge that it's over, right? Well, I want to encourage you tonight, and don't judge whatever situation you're in at midnight. Don't judge your marriage at midnight. Anybody that's been married that says that it has all been happily ever after just lied to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we want the ever after, but it doesn't mean it's going to be happily every day. Glory to God. You know when you were dating that person, you know, you ladies, your husband, and your husband's your spouse, you know, you went home and went to bed and did your whole routine and woke up yourself the next day, and you got to keep all the blankets on that you wanted on, and you got to lay in the part of the bed you wanted to lay in, and if you wanted a fan blowing, you got the fan, but if you didn't, you didn't have to have that. And now your wife squeezes the toothpaste in the middle. I got good news for you. Morning's coming. Don't judge your marriage at midnight. Don't judge your ministry at midnight. I mean, it may look like nothing's happening. It may look like nothing's going to happen. You're never going to be there. Just keep on. Keep on. Don't judge it at midnight. Don't write the conclusion yet. Don't judge your children at midnight. Hallelujah. You be their best advocate their entire life. Don't judge your finances at midnight. Woo, man, sometimes it seems like there's a lot of midnight in the checkbook, in the bank account. But don't judge your finances at midnight. You know, we talk about ministry and that, and pastors taught us here, every one of us have a calling. Don't judge your calling at midnight. You know, most folk, it's amazing to me, and I've been at this now, it's August now, so I preached my first sermon 46 years ago in the month of August. And so I kind of like how Brother Hagin would say, I'm in my 47th year, right? So it's amazing in all those years in dealing with people that, you know, they want to be in ministry. They want, you know, they don't know what that means, but they want to be in ministry. And the ones who are faithful to do what their hand has to do right now, they move into other areas of ministry, and others don't, who might be more gifted, who might be more anointed, but yet they will not let themselves be faithful. They will not make themselves be faithful. Now, you know, if you're not faithful in the little, God can't trust us with the much. Amen. But I got good news for you. The story isn't over. The story isn't over on your marriage. The story isn't over on your ministry. The story isn't over on your children. The story isn't over on your finances. The story isn't over because morning hasn't arrived yet. Glory to God. You know, if you walked into a movie theater sometimes and you were halfway through the movie, you might think the villain wins. You know, you might think that's how it is. But if you stay till the ending changes everything. You know, God's not writing your life. Sometimes people think, you know, God, that God's writing my life one painful chapter after another, but actually, God's writing a whole story. Amen. Now, I'll say this. I can look back on my life and know that most of the midnights in my life were caused by my decisions. Amen. But then there was also times, you know, that things were hard and things were a little bit, you know, a little bit of a struggle because God was bringing me through. You know, there's a great truth about keep walking. Keep walking. I love that VeggieTales. It's the French, you know, the little French peas up there at Jericho. Keep walking, but you won't knock down our wall. Keep walking, but she isn't going to fall. But I take it and turn it positive. Yes, keep walking. Psalm 23 says, yea, though we walk through. Have you ever thought about that? Think about that in life. You know, everybody cheers when the child starts walking. Ooh, praise the Lord. Amen. We don't cheer too whole lot when people stop walking. Amen. That's just a natural thing. You know, we know we're not afraid to die, but, you know, death's still an enemy, right? And that's why we fight it. We fight it as much as we can. But stay to the end. Stay to the end. So, how do we live until the morning? How do we last? Well, like Paul and Silas, let's pray. Pray. Prayer keeps our faith alive. Number two, praise. Praise declares victory before the morning comes. Praise is faith with a voice. And sometimes praise is faith with action. You know, sometimes, you know, don't wait for camp meeting to take a good Holy Ghost run. Do it in your living room. Amen. Do it when things don't look, do it there when nobody can see you. Hallelujah. Now I know, I realize here this is everything's kind of built, but I've always wondered, why does everybody have to run down here? Can't you run out there? Just a thought. And you got to watch coming down here. I've seen too many people bite the dust trying to make that corner, especially right over there where Christians, they come right down that aisle, and their feet go out from under them. Hallelujah. Pray. Praise. Persevere is number three. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, morning comes for those who don't quit at night. And then finally, expect. Psalm 5:3 says, my voice shall you hear in the morning, O Lord. He talks about looking up. David prayed, then he looked up. Why? Because faith expects something. Faith has the expectancy that morning is coming. You know, if you're here tonight and you're dealing with a midnight, it seems like you're in the middle of your night. You don't need another explanation. You don't need another teaching. You don't need another revelation. You need hope. And I came to talk to you tonight. Morning is coming. You need hope. And remember this, the same God who brought Israel through the sea, the same God who met Jacob before sunrise, the same God who shook the Philippian jail, the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, is still bringing morning to his people. You know, the devil may have convinced you that midnight is your destination. You know, if you're single and you're believing God for to be married, your singleness is not your destination. Just keep praising. Just keep praying. Just keep persevering. Just keep expecting. Midnight is just the final watch before the dawn. When Paul and Silas lifted their voices, morning the next day was only 1 second away. They couldn't even see the sunrise. They couldn't feel the earthquake yet. They couldn't imagine the doors opening yet. But God was already moving. In God's appointed moment, morning was coming. And that may be where you are. You've prayed, you've believed, you've stood, you've waited. But what you can't see is that God's working and God's clock has never stopped. And in God's time, morning is about to break. Your morning is closer. Think about this. Your morning is closer than it ever has been. The longest night still comes to an end. The darkest hour still passes. The clock still moves. The sun still rises. Because why? Morning is coming. I want you to know this. God's promise is not that you'll never face darkness. It's that darkness will never have the final word. You know, maybe your midnight is a habit of sin that you've struggled with. Maybe it's something you've never surrendered to Christ in your life. But I want you to know Jesus has forgiven you of your sins. And He'll make you a new creation if you've never accepted Him before. But He'll also bring freedom to you and teach you how to walk in freedom. Maybe fear, maybe a grief, maybe sickness is encompassing you with darkness, family trouble, or discouragement. But I just encourage you tonight that you bring that night, that darkness, that midnight to the one who conquered the darkest night of all. Jesus walked out of the tomb on resurrection morning to prove that there's hope beyond every midnight. Don't let your midnight convince you that God's forgotten you. As we said, pray, praise, persevere, expect. And think about this. When God says it's time for the sun to rise over your life, there's no power in hell that can hold back the dawn. Let's all stand up together. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're dealing with tonight. I don't know what's going on, but I do know this. If we'll just lift our hands and our voices and praise God, that'll get us started. Amen. That'll get us to the midnight that morning's just 1 second away. Hallelujah. Your answer might just be 1 second away. It might be one thank you to God away. It might just be one lifting of your hands and praising God just to let the devil know, devil, the midnight, your darkness has no effect on me. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you glory and we give you honor. Midnight is coming to an end. Morning is coming. Joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And our morning is just a moment away. Just a moment away. And I give you praise, give you honor, Father, in this place. I thank you, Father God, that every sickness, every disease has to go. Every financial struggle, you'll give wisdom to the person who's dealing with it. Show them how to come out of it in Jesus' name. Every family situation, Father, your divine love work to bring that together. Every marriage, Father God, that's in darkness, may your light shine. May morning come to that marriage. For every child who's walked away from the light into the darkness, Father, we call them back in Jesus' name. Come back to the light. Come back to the light. We thank you for it, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Our prayer teams are coming down right now. If you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, got good news for you tonight. He died for you. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God's not imputing our sins to us. He put that on Jesus. So you may not know this, but your sin has already been taken care of. If you come down here, men to the men, ladies to the ladies, they will pray with you and help you to receive that wonderful gift of what we call salvation, the Bible calls salvation. If you need prayer for any other thing, come to them. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God. That's where our answers come from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do we need everybody? We good tonight? Sunday morning right here, School of the Bible. Don't forget. I'll keep reminding you, those of you that are ages 28 to 35, you're now meeting upstairs, singles upstairs in SDC 2 over here with the 18 to 27-year-olds. And so, well, got you together. We want to remember you. But School of the Bible, 9 o'clock, church at Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Sunday night at 6, back here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Oh, yeah, this is back to school Sunday, too. Amen. And so it's going to be an exciting time. Going to be, you know, I guarantee you'll be high energy. Right? So get a good night's rest. Eat a bowl of Wheaties in the morning so you'll be ready. All right? All right. Give God a big shout of praise, and we are dismissed in this place. Amen.